Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging. And their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And this week we're speaking to a beautiful pea who is a phoenix rising from the ashes.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
Here we are, recording in COVID. It's like nothing's changed from a year.
No, that's right. Lockdown 6 here in Melbourne, 6.7.
If you're in the rural because you came in and out. So I don't know. I think the thing that's making me laugh the most is that people in Melbourne now call, when lockdown ends, snap openings.
It's not a snap lockdown. I can't wait for a snap opening. You could say a lot of things about that.
You're really good, but
anyway, it's great to be here today and to
talk to a really awesome pea.
Yes, so I am so excited. This is a friend of mine that I met probably 15 or maybe 16 years ago. So would you like to say hello and introduce yourself?
Hello, Mandy and Kate. I'm Bron. It's lovely to be here.
Yeah. We are thrilled.
Yes. Thank you, Bron. We are very excited. So we're going to get to ask the questions and then we'll get going and we'll hear all about you, this phoenix rising from the ashes.
All right.
Excellent. Excellent.
Do you have a song or a band or music that either really gets you up in the downtimes or pumps you up during the day?
I guess I really love listening to Pink because she's you know, so sort of energetic and empowered. Such a strong woman. But I don't usually use music as sort of a pick-me-up for some reason.
Right.
But definitely if I do feel a bit flat or I want to sort of jump around, then definitely anything by Pink.
Yeah, she's awesome. Thank you. Okay, and what about, did you win any awards at school?
Well, I know that you guys are really sort of, you're not really keen on awards, but I love an award. Yeah.
Good.
And I mean, I understand why you guys don't like them, and I don't like them for that same reason. But as far as an individual goes, I loved, you know, winning awards.
That's fine. Of course.
I did lots for like different sports and swimming and hurdles.
Oh,
and that
awesome!
Sort of thing. So I'm always after that sort of praise from, you know, teachers and everything. I think I still am from doing remote learning. I like a bit of praise.
Well, you get an award from Principal Hose here.
Yep. Your level coordinator Jones. Yes. You're doing an awesome job.
Congratulations.
Yep.
Okay, and the most important question is, tell us why you are a P.
I'm a P because 16 years ago when I had my first child, he sustained a brain injury in the hospital and as a result has cerebral palsy, and that's how I am part of the P community.
And we met on Essential Baby, is that right? My memory's right?
We did many, yeah, I think it was, it must have been 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when the kids were.
Yeah, they were babies.
One and a half, yeah. Or they were babies. And there was, that was sort of so new at that time to have an online forum and I think we essentially all sort of started it and just started chatting and then got to know each other. And
definitely.
You know, because, yeah, there was nothing, you know, now it's, you know, all over the place. You can find lots of online support. But back then there was sort of nothing.
Yeah, it didn't feel like it. And we're still friends with a lot of people from that, kids and children with disabilities Essential Baby, aren't we? Yeah. It was amazing, actually.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah.
We're sort of in the forefront there of starting online groups.
Do you want to – and we'll get to, like, online stuff and everything that you managed to create, but can we go back a little bit and tell us a little bit about what you feel comfortable sharing about your birth with Cooper? Yeah, pregnancy and your birth maybe.
Yeah. Pregnancy, you know, just typical, you know, I don't like the word normal, but typical pregnancy.
Yeah.
I was 28, I think, at the time, 27, 28, you know, super, super excited, you know, to be pregnant, you know, textbook pregnancy, all fine, whatever, and booked into just, you know, typical little local hospital and whatever because, you know, I didn't have any complications and it was all going to be straightforward and it was all going to be like in the movies, and then it all just basically turned to shit. So it just didn't. It didn't go to. Let's say it didn't go to plan, and a lot of different things went wrong. So, you know, if those little individual things went wrong, that wouldn't be a problem. But the fact that it was sort of mistake after mistake after mistake, essentially, that then resulted in, you know, Cooper having sustained, you know, lack of oxygen to his brain while he was being born.
So, did you go into labor or?
Yeah. So I just went into labor naturally, like the day after, like 40 weeks plus one day.
Yep.
So he was like the biggest baby in NICU because a lot of them were, you know, little premies. Yes. Massive, you know, 3.5 kilo boof.
Yep.
And basically when he was first born, you know, he wasn't, you know, meant to survive, and they said he wouldn't survive and that he had a, you know, no chance of, you know, sort of living. And, it was really – sort of a really tricky time. And I think when I sort of look back at that person, I feel that, you know, that Bron, looking back on her, that was a totally different person. And I felt sort of very naive, I guess, to that these things can happen. And now, you know, they do happen.
Yes.
And they still continue to happen. And, you know, I don't enjoy when I hear that they do happen again, but then I also can really have a lot of empathy for that person.
And, of course.
You know, you have an instant connection with them.
Yeah.
You know, if you've gone through that similar sort of situation.
Mm. How long did he stay in hospital?
He was in hospital for a month,
right?
And he came home still on like the nasogastric tube for his milk because he didn't have a suck or anything like that, so he couldn't breastfeed or bottle feed or anything. And they said, sort of, you know, we'll see you in a few weeks, and we'll put a peg in his tummy, and you know, he'll have to eat his food orally like that, and he probably won't, you know, physically be able to do very much for the rest of his life. But
oh my god,
take him home and enjoy him, and that was. That was sort of it, really.
So
he came home.
I'm assuming this happened. You have vaginal birth or a cesarean?
A vaginal birth.
Right. And then did they do MRIs in the hospital?
Yes.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, straight away, I think. I think it was on like, the third day that he was born, they did MRIs. And even when he was first born, they said, oh, he'll have lack of oxygen, you know, he's had a lack of oxygen to his brain, and because his APGARs were sort of 1 and 0 for everything else, because he had a little bit of. Yeah, he wasn't breathing. He had a little bit of a heart rate, but he, you know, he was alive. And Andrew, my husband, said, "Oh, you know, does that mean he'll have brain damage?" And I sort of just started laughing because I'd had this sort of epidural at the time, and I was sort of completely, you know, I had all these birth highs because I had given birth.
Yes,
but you know, there was no celebration around that birth because it was sort of so traumatic, and that's. I always make a point that if anyone has a traumatic birth, I always congratulate them on the birth of their child because you still have had a child.
Yes.
I still pushed that thing out of my vagina.
Yes. And you grew him and you cared for him. And
absolutely.
Yes.
Exactly.
It's still a monumental thing for a human to go through, to birth another human.
Yes. And he was perfect.
He was, you know, yeah, to me. He, you know,
that's right.
He looked fine to me, even though sort of, you know, I was watching them resuscitate him and I wasn't really on the planet.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Just think
I
really, back.
Even I was watching it all, but I think I was just, I think the trauma was too much.
Yes. Yeah. Your body can't process, your mind can't process it. It just takes little bits in.
No.
Yeah, definitely. Yes.
So then he sort of got, I think the Nets team came and picked him up sort of from locally and drove him into the city and they sent us a photo of him just to say that, you know, he'd gotten to where he needed to be. And that was a really horrible. I remember that night sort of so clearly because I was sitting in the hospital, you know, without my baby and my mum was there with me and I was just, she said I was just kept shaking all night and was sort of in and out of sleep. And,
shock.
You know, in complete shock, exactly.
Did they give you anything like, you know, Valium or Temazepam or like did they do anything?
I don't think so.
No, I just.
Not that I remember.
Yeah. And were you in your own room or were you in a four bed?
Yeah, and I was in my own room. And then the next morning Andrew came and picked me up. I just remember them saying at the hospital, like, I need to do a wee or something like that. Yeah. And then they'd let me go. So I did that and then just jumped in the car with Andrew and then we drove into the city to go to the Royal Women's where they transferred Cooper to. Mm. And so I got to stay there as a patient.
Oh, right. I'm so glad.
Yeah, because you just gave birth. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. So I got to stay there and, you know, be close to Coops and I had my own room, but it was still hard because it was, they tried to sort of put me right at the end because it was on the in the maternity ward, obviously, and people had babies.
Yeah, you got to walk past those happy sounds.
You got to walk past all that, exactly.
Yeah. I remember like, you with your flowers. You want rest time?
But that, that's exactly what I mean of why, you know, it probably, I think once we knew Cooper was going to survive, so maybe like after the first week or something, then I started getting, you know, congratulations and flowers and things like that. But people were too scared to congratulate you because, I don't know, it's just, it's such a tricky thing.
It really
is. People don't know what to say.
Yeah.
But I suppose now you can, having lived it, say to people, send flowers, congratulate that
mum. Oh, definitely. Yeah,
you can send little clothes for them to wear in hospital.
Yeah.
There's a hundred things you can do.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course.
To acknowledge it.
Yep. A person's a person no matter how
that's
small.
That's right.
And
how did you adjust to, like, you know, it's sort of like your first taste of advocacy being in NICU and special care, isn't it? You know.
Oh, definitely.
Dealing with nurses and doctors and you're like, boom, you're in.
Yeah.
How did you manage that?
Yeah,
can you remember?
I know. And I sort of, I think it's been sort of so long since this happened in a way, you know, but I can smell that hand wash and then it pulls me straight back to that moment. But especially now with all the hand sanitizers.
Yes. When I went to the exhibition center for my needle, I was like, boom, as soon as I put it on my hand, I was like, oh, I know where I am.
Yep. And seeing people in PPE.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And just hearing sort of those machines and things like that. So
And when everyone walks, they swish because they've got plastic.
Yes.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I remember this. Yep.
I remember that. Yep. That's right. Yep. But it's, you know, it's an interesting thing because, you know, this is all about sort of my journey and how I, you know, parenting a child with a disability and then obviously Cooper has his own journey being the person with a disability.
Yeah.
So it's... And it's a really hard thing because it's not something like his birth is not something I really discuss that much because, you know, you've got to be really careful, I guess, you know, I can acknowledge the trauma and everything from my side of it, but also it's really hard when, you know, the kids are saying, oh, you know, can tell me your birth story or tell me my birth story. And it gets me every time and I'm always in tears by the end of Cooper's birth story and it's horrible because you don't want your kid to be thinking that you're crying about their birth.
No.
You know, it's just, it's hard.
It is hard. It's,
well, I think if
you complex.
It's really hard.
Nearly lost a child.
Yeah.
No matter what the outcome had been from that, that story would make you cry.
Yes, yeah, true.
So, you know, and now you can say, wow, he's here.
Yeah.
You know?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
But you still have that always, I think, in the back of your mind and it really,
it's tricky.
You know, that trauma really plays on your parenting as well because, you know, it's, or the same as when I look at the disabled permit in the car and, you know, you sort of every morning I look at it and go, oh, shit, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, you sort of forget.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. You had worked in early childhood, hadn't you? Because I think we talked about how we might have crossed paths. So did you feel like you were like, right, I can do his personal care in the hospital. I can bath him. I can touch him. I can, you know, how did you manage
that? Yeah, I could just do that. I mean, I guess because I'd done, I worked in early childhood and I'd worked as a nanny and so I was really confident with little babies and things like that. And just before I'd had Cooper, I'd been working at the local council for 2 years, you know, educating new parents and also working with the, what's it called, the, you know, the government, the federal government with getting funding for kids with disabilities. Yeah. So I'd sort of been working with kids with disabilities, but then, obviously I know way more than I did then, and I think I'd do that job way better now.
Yeah. Look back
than
at
I did
that.
At the time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's interesting just to...
I think that's probably where we had a similarity because I was like, I have worked with children for 10 years. I'm ready to be a mum. I know how to change nappies. I know how to. I can do all that stuff. And then, boom, this is not what I thought.
No.
And then everything that you've got in this background then is wiped clean.
Yep.
Well, that's right. And I think in all when you parent, you're parenting off your own experiences of being parented.
Yes.
Mm, yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're having to parent someone that you don't know anything about them or you don't, we hadn't had anyone with a disability in our family.
Yes.
So
I
didn't know what to do. And I still, even now as a teenager, you're still parenting differently than you are like my able-bodied kids.
Yes.
I can, I parent my other kids the way I was parented because I've got that similarity that we're both neurotypical or whatever.
Yeah.
But, with Coops, it's like parenting, it's just like parenting an alien essentially, which,
lots of parents can relate to that.
Not that he's an alien, but just that it's something so foreign.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, and there's never been, you don't go to the, when I had my kids, you didn't go to the infant welfare nurse and there was all these pictures and one of the child had a nasogastric tube and one of the
peg.
One had a peg and one was in a wheelchair. And
There's none of that.
AFOs or this one is using sign language or hearing aids. Nothing. There's just these really boring looking fat babies, well fed babies.
Exactly.
Which doesn't reflect any of our stories.
No.
That's definitely right.
Hopefully that's changed now. I don't know. I haven't been to an infant welfare nurse, maternal child health, probably since the boys were 3 or 4.
Yeah.
So,
maybe that's different.
Maybe it's different now.
Yeah.
Please feel free to write in and let us know. But I think we just never saw it. There was no images of it. And what's
that's right.
This is off topic a little bit. What's really interesting is since we've done the podcast, so many people have gone and had their children diagnosed with things that they just didn't know because they don't see them and no one talks about them.
Yes.
So obviously not massive.
That's right.
Physical disabilities.
Not in your face.
Yeah, but still things that had been really affecting these kids' lives. So you're like, wow, it's just not spoken about.
No,
so how do you know how to do it? Yeah.
Tell us about.
No, that's right, because it's a whole different world.
Yeah.
Tell us about the.
It's like another world.
Sorry to interrupt. Sorry. Keep going.
Sorry.
I was just going to say, tell us about early childhood, those early years, getting to know him as a baby and then a toddler and then how did you do it?
When I think about those early years, I think that the safety of my own home was where I wanted to be.
Yep.
And it's really isolating because some days I just could not go outside and face, I don't know, I think it's just, I didn't want to go to mother's group because it used to piss me off.
Yes.
Everyone's kids are developing typically and whatever and, they're complaining about what I think is small things.
Yes.
But for them it's, it's valid for them because, they're having issues with breastfeeding or whatever. But my issues and my world seem so much sort of bigger, I guess, than the average, mum or whatever.
Mm.
So I would find it really hard to go to those groups, especially – with when different milestones were occurring.
Yes.
So when all the babies started crawling, I sort of didn't go for a few weeks. Or they started walking, I didn't go. So whereas, now some of those kids are, at school with Coop, so it's, it's not a big deal anymore because he's just sort of his own person now.
Yeah, but everything's so rapid then, isn't it?
And it's raw.
Yeah,
you don't
raw.
Know the person. Know. You don't know.
And you were traumatised.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Mm. Yeah, which you – which I think everyone around me knew I was traumatised, but I probably didn't acknowledge the trauma.
Well, you can't.
No, you can't, because otherwise if you acknowledge it, then you're just going to – you won't be able to do
that's
exactly right.
You have to keep parenting.
That's why people don't go and get counselling or psychology. They don't want to talk about it. We need to just bury it down because we've got to physically keep going every day to provide everything for our child.
Yeah, that's right.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And I'd make appointments for psychologists and things like that. And drive there and just I wouldn't go in because I just couldn't deal with it because I didn't want to admit it.
myself. Because it's really tricky because it's not that you don't absolutely love and adore your child.
Of course.
You do. But anything in life that throws you a massive curveball, you know, people go to counselling because they can't buy into the suburb they want or they can't, you know what I mean? And we can laugh at that, but to them, it's at that moment in their life, it's huge. It's their life isn't going the way they thought. So literally when we break it down, that's just the same thing, right? And it's got nothing actually to do with our beautiful children. It's just to do with us and learning.
Yes.
And loads of parents, loads and loads of mothers and fathers have had counselling just because parenting isn't what they thought.
Totally.
So, that's exactly right, we really need to normalise that.
Yes,
definitely.
And did you do any therapies? Were you plunged into early intervention? What did that look like?
Yeah, of course. I remember like the really early days, there'd be like a nurse would come from the hospital and visit. And then I remember as Cooper sort of got older, he'd be linked up with services, you know, for occupational therapy and physio and speech and all this sort of stuff and feeding and that kind of thing. And there'd be lots of therapists sort of coming over to the house. And but I used to basically hated it the whole time.
Yeah.
Because they'd bring in all this equipment and it was just so confronting.
Oh,
because
I remember that corner chair, the wooden corner chair.
That, I know.
And I remember just thinking, like don't bring that into my house. Mm. Yeah. It's very confronting.
It is really confronting. And Kate, just as you were saying before, you almost have to sort of segment those things or segregate them or whatever because – yeah, you're constantly sort of looking at these equipment and saying in my heart I was like, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this. But then you have to then be like, I love my child, I hate the equipment, you know.
Yeah,
but those things will always get intertwined.
Yes, yes. It is tricky.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, it is. And life's tricky.
Mm.
You know, motherhood's tricky, parenting's tricky. And let's remember that when all these things were happening, you weren't even 30.
I know.
If you could do
it. I was young back in the day.
Yeah, me too.
If you could do it with the mind of a 45-year-old. Oh,
of course.
Not the body.
Totally.
But the mind. Like you're just so much more empowered and you know what matters and what doesn't matter and you know,
you're
but
vulnerable.
You can't know all that.
No.
I know.
A different person.
Yeah, really hard time in your life. But you went and decided to have another little baby.
Yeah, so that was a really big step of even just making that decision.
Yes.
But I think we made that decision based on the fact that, you know, Cooper was sort of 2.5 at the time and, you know, he was so indulged and so, you know, it was everything was about him.
Yeah.
That we're like, we've really got to have another child to actually just even this out and get, you know, take the pressure off Coops a bit.
Right,
But also, you know, selfishly I wanted to prove that I could do it, like do it properly, which sounds really bad.
It's a massive, massive thing that women have to get past. I know friends of mine that have had cesareans that wanted to have a vaginal birth afterwards and couldn't and felt like somehow they didn't do it right, which, of course, we're like, no, you had a baby. That's what you had to do.
No, that's right.
But I do understand what you're saying.
How did you manage that time being pregnant?
I think it sort of seemed to sort of go on forever, and I remember it, you know, I think that the scan that you do, like the 20-week or the 16-week scan or something, or 12-week, whatever it was, you know, there were some issues with PEPs and we had to sort of go and check that out, and that was a bit sort of traumatic, sort of, just trying to figure out that everything was going to be okay with her.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I had her via cesarean. I had the same midwife sort of throughout the whole pregnancy because I offered that support because of what had happened with Coops.
Good. Lovely.
And, they were – everyone in the operating room were really, really supportive and, you know, Peps came out as this pink, screaming, beautiful little nugget of a kid. She, changed our lives.
Oh, yeah. I know. I remember when she was born.
And that was very, very healing, you know, having this sort of typical – you know, textbook kind of experience in a way, and you know, having a cesarean, it did not bother me in the slightest that I hadn't given birth vaginally, because the doctors had advised, you know, that's not a good idea.
So yeah.
Just, you know, go cesarean and that's the safest option for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I had PEP, so it was beautiful. So it was, it's almost been, you know, like PEP is sort of almost like a firstborn child sometimes in the, yes. a lot of those experiences I have with PEPs is the first time that I've had them. So
yes, that's right.
It's an interesting parenting and sibling journey with those. With the first two.
Yeah. And then you thought three's lucky, third time lucky?
Well, then, okay, to be honest, it was New Year's Eve. and I think Andrew sort of caught me at a vulnerable time.
A weak moment.
And I was like, oh, whatever, this is, you know, it's
yeah,
very
let's
unlikely
do it, baby.
That I'll fall pregnant sort of thing. Let's do this. It's very unlikely I'll fall pregnant.
Yeah.
Anyway, I felt pregnant. Oh. That's little Woody.
Yeah, so cute.
Woody is his real name, because that is Kate's pseudonym for
yes,
her
that's
twins.
Right.
Oh, yeah, sorry. That is my Woody's real name is Elwood, but we call him Woody.
Oh, yeah,
Elwood,
that's
real
name.
Elwood, yeah.
I like
oh,
it.
Dear.
Oh, well, there you go. So you got to fill up the whole back seat.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, yeah, I mean, even, yeah, it's never dull, you know.
Never a dull moment.
Even when I talk to friends about my family, sometimes they're like, oh, I wish we had a camera in there.
Yeah, no, exactly.
The things I say, and they're like, I wish we, you know, you'd be a great, like, live TV show. Oh. I was like, oh, no.
No.
Imagine.
I can hear scooting hurtling around.
I can hear the scooters
around.
About us too.
It's very loud now that we're back to recording with remote learning.
Can I just talk about when you started your blog? Because you were one of the first people
I knew
that started a blog, right? And
the
I tried
blog.
To start one, and I only did one because I couldn't put the photo in. So...
So I think I must have started blogging before I had Woody.
Yeah, I think you definitely.
Yeah.
I reckon he was around two or three, Cooper, when you started it.
Yeah. And I think it was my way essentially of sort of getting a lot of my feelings out and getting, you know, just sort of expressing, you know, this journey that I was on, you know, as parenting a child with a disability plus parenting another child and just the, you know, the comparisons of that sort of parenting journey. And then so I did that up until maybe Coops was about 10, and then I hit a moment where it was more that it, you know, Cooper's life was his life and he needed to – that sort of needed to be private, all that sort of thing.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
I sort of shut that down and then I started a travel blog, so it's something totally different.
Yeah, so let's talk about that, even though we can't travel right now, but I'm really proud of this travel blog and this whole story. So tell everybody, so hopefully you can get back to it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, see, the thing is, with the travel blog, I love the travel blog, and I, you know, we had so many different opportunities with that blog and writing so many different experiences that we had, and, you know, the kids and Andrew and I, we explored, you know, I think it was 32 countries, you know, together across the world. And I'd write about it and share so many photos of, you know, how we did it, the wheelchair access sort of side of things and how we travel, you know, with the child with a disability. But we basically just had the view of we're going to go anywhere and try anything, because I think it was, you know, deep down just proving to Cooper that, you know, despite, you know, having all these physical challenges, he can really do anything you know, that anyone else can do. So you know, and we have made so many connections with different people overseas, and, you know, so many people would come up to me and, you know, thank me for bringing Cooper, you know, to their country, especially across Southeast Asia.
Yes.
And just be, you know, because, and so many women would come up to me and say, you know, they had a similar birth experience. And I remember speaking to one lady on the beach in Cambodia, and we were just in tears, and there was a big language barrier, but she was pointing to Cooper and she was explaining that the same thing had happened to her. And they couldn't believe that that would have happened in Australia because, you know, medically everything's supposed to be amazing over here.
Yeah.
And that they were so grateful that Cooper was able to experience everything that he was experiencing, because their kids were stuck, you know, at home in a double level stilt house and not being able to get down the stairs sort of thing. So it was... Yeah, we made so many amazing connections, you know, with so many people overseas, and It was a massive, really massive part of our lives doing all that.
Oh, huge, Bron.
I remember Mandy said you went and stayed in a yurt.
Oh, come on. Talk about yes, Mongolia. I mean, that's my favourite moment. I just thought, I can't believe she's in Mongolia.
I know. I don't know. I think that came about because Andrew had some long service leave for work. So I thought, or we thought, let's, you know, take the kids out of school for 3 months and we'll, you know, take them overseas. So we sort of planned this trip across Asia for 3 months, and the first stop was to China, and then we, from Beijing, we got on the Trans-Mongolian train that went all the way across to Mongolia.
Yep.
I think it was, I think we were on the train for like 36 hours or something silly. And we got off in Mongolia and we jumped in this guy's car that we'd sort of organized prior. And he drove us to this national park in the middle of Mongolia, and there was no one else around. And there's all these little, just these little gurs or the yurt, you know, out in the wilderness.
Amazing.
And we stayed. His name was Moggy, and he had a little dog. And we just stayed with him, you know, in his gur, and we went horseback riding and had baths in the river, and just collected cow poo and horse poo to make fires inside the gur, and. It was really cool.
Oh, it was cool.
It was really looking fun.
Yes.
That was beautiful. It was really amazing. And we still laugh about that because the horse, you know, we wanted to go for this horse ride and I was thinking it was going to be like, you know, a little trail ride like down at Gunnamatta or something, you know, something like that. And I think it ended up being, you know, like 7 hours on the back of a horse.
Oh,
and
my Lord.
I hadn't ridden a horse.
Your thighs must have been so sore.
And the Mongolian horses are really little and like we're, you know, we're not little, so I, you know, I felt like I was squashing this horse.
Did Cooper go on that as well?
Oh yeah. So Moggy, the gur host, he was this Mongolian guy, and he just said, "Well, of course, you know, Cooper's," and had exactly the same attitude as we do. Yeah. Is that Cooper's just going to do the same thing that we're all doing? So he just grabbed Coops and Cooper just sat in front of him and he was just like one hand on the reins of the horse and one hand holding Coops, and I was absolutely crapping myself.
Cooper was going to be falling
off the horse. And Cooper just thought it was the best thing ever. And then they did the same thing to Woody. There was another guy that came. So Woody and Cooper are having races across the Mongolian plains and with these one-handed things across rivers. And,
have you got photos? You know, was,
yeah. Oh, yeah, heaps of photos. So then, yeah, so I had this blog.
Bron's a photographer too.
So I also take photos. But
yeah,
my blog doesn't exist right now because I forgot to pay the subscription.
I don't know how that feels. And,
so, and I'm sort of, I probably wouldn't get back into the travel writing side of things. I just don't know. I'm not quite sure. I know that writing is very healing and very therapeutic for me. But at this stage, I'm sort of, at the point now where I feel as though that, you know, that travel, it was so adventurous and so amazing, but maybe I was at the time sort of running away from, you know, my current sort of thoughts or something, and I was using that as a bit of an escape in a way.
Right.
So then now, since I sort of lost the plot a year and a half ago, then I'm moving in sort of a different direction, I guess I could say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So did your, are we talking about your rising from the ashes? Did that coincide with
my phoenix moment?
Did that coincide with COVID or
Well, was no, it was it? Before. It was just before. A bit before COVID. Yep. We had a trip booked to Spain, Portugal, and Morocco last March, which we didn't go to because of COVID. But prior to that, probably 6 weeks before that, I started not sort of sleeping well and feeling not myself and very, very anxious. And then I just completely had a total mental breakdown in the doctor's office when I was going to check if I was going through menopause or what was wrong with me.
Mm. Yeah.
So I thought it was, I don't know, I thought my jaw and everything were hurting, so I thought maybe something was wrong with my teeth. And I was trying to sort of have all these diagnoses of physical things, but whereas it was a total mental thing, but I didn't know it at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And what happened? Yeah. What did the doctor say? How did that help you?
Well, he didn't. So I think it was the nurse at the doctor's that was taking my bloods because I'm like saying there's something wrong with me. I'm going through menopause. I'm all over the shop. I don't know if I'm here or there or what's going on. And then she just, I think she just said, are you okay? And, you know, as soon as someone says, are you okay? And then you just start bawling your eyes out.
Mm.
So I just started crying, crying, crying. And I probably hadn't cried for like 6 months or something, you know, because I, well, really 16 years, I hadn't really cried very much.
Yeah.
So I think it was really all that trauma that I'd bottled up, and I think it was ready to come out because I think because Cooper's gotten a bit older, and it was around his birthday, because it's always around his birthday that I have these sort of issues.
Yeah.
I think I was able to let myself lose it and let all that emotion out because Cooper was 16 and he is who he is, and he's a strong, confident, you know, young man.
Yes.
That it's not, I'm not feeling that big burden of responsibility anymore, and I know that he's happy with who he is and he knows who he is and he always has. And it was just, I guess it was just the right time for me to allow myself to let all that out and to, you know, deal with all that grief and all the guilt and all that sort of thing.
So. Yeah. And that's the reality, isn't it? Yeah. Sometimes like 16 years, for some people it's 30 years.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. I wish I'd broken down a bit sooner because it's actually been really life-changing breaking down and piece myself back together.
Yeah.
You know, and I might do it again as well. You never know. It doesn't just happen once in your life.
No, that's right.
You know?
No.
So how did you go back and then talk about that with your family?
Well, I think, I mean, Andrew sort of knew what was going on because I'd be up sort of in the middle of the night just shaking and not, I just wasn't on the planet really. Mm. And then I basically contacted like all my immediate family and they were like, thank God it's finally happened. We've been waiting for this.
But you've got two sisters, don't you?
Yeah, I've got two sisters and then, and my parents and like all of Andrew's family. And they were just like, thank God this has happened because we've been waiting so many years for this to happen and we don't know how you've held it together for so long and, you know, thank God. And they were all just really, really pleased. And even like my aunt, you know, my dad called my aunties and stuff and, you know, they all called me and, you know, I'm really close with all my family and they were just like, you know, it happens to the best of us and all these stories came out and then everyone, you know, once something sort of happens to you like this, so many people come out of the woodwork with that the same things happen to them but people are too scared to talk about it. The same as like the child with a disability, they're too scared to talk about mental health as well.
Yes. So.
Mm. And they go hand in hand, those two things.
Yeah, and so really what did you do to rebuild yourself?
Phoenix?
So when I went to the GP, he gave me some medication because I needed to, I guess, calm the anxiety down a bit in order to be able to actually go to a psychologist.
That sort of thing.
So I went and saw a psychologist a few times. But I mainly, and then it's, I think then because Corona sort of came about, they only had them online sort of psych appointments and that wasn't, I like being in the room with someone actually, you know, reading people's, you know, seeing the body language and that sort of thing. So I just started speaking to people, I think, and I'd go down to the beach every day and just start, you know, chatting with people and everyone has like such a similar story. I think if you're open.
Yep.
You know, open to discussions with people. People are open to discuss with you. And, you know, my kids think it's hilarious that I just walk down the street and, like, I know everyone now.
I love it.
That's beautiful.
I've become like this, you know, the old lady that just talks to everyone. And I've got a dog as well. So the dog's, like, amazing. And the dog's a massive therapy tool as well.
Yes. Oh, they really are.
Yeah.
Oh,
I didn't know how much.
Oh,
yeah.
No, they are the best thing ever.
Yeah.
I know. I love dog people. And I remember looking at the beach thinking, oh, who are these weirdos with all their dogs?
I know.
Now I'm one of them. Like just in April, our little toy cavoodle's called Bento, and he had his first birthday, and like I seriously made like cupcakes and Andy made a cake, and we had a full party, and the kids like, you never make cupcakes for our birthday party. So it's dogs are so healing. They're the so best thing. Healing. They really are.
You know what? Because they have absolute unconditional love.
Oh,
and oh, definitely.
We really strive for that as humans and parents and friends. But dogs, they don't have to do anything. They're just
exactly.
Full of it.
They just love you.
Yeah.
It's natural.
Even if they pee when they see you because they're so excited.
Tell us about your swimming and you've started doing that.
The summer school holidays, like in December,
yep.
I said to myself, I'm going to start. I've always seen these women in the water and I always thought I really want to be able to do that. And I see like the smiles on their faces and just the community spirit and just this really, you know, getting in touch with nature. And I thought I really want to be able to do that. So last December I just said, okay, I'm going to go into the water every day, you know, of December. So I did that. And I wanted to sort of start swimming. So then I started swimming out to this pole, which is a marker. I've been about 100 metres out or whatever.
Mm. Wow.
And then now I've swum, except for 2 days over winter, I've swum every day of winter except for 2 days.
Oh,
do you wear a wetsuit or you just go in?
No, so just my bathers.
Wow.
And a wetsuit hat because the heat really escapes from your head.
Right.
And, yeah, I've met this, like, amazing swimming community down there and, you know, we're all different ages and all different walks of lives and all different careers and all different family makeup. But I guess that one thing we've got in common is like what the healing powers, I guess, of cold water. And,
yes.
And we're all doing it for a different reason, but a lot of those reasons are for mental health. And, you know, whatever's bothering you in the day, you can get in that cold water and you're not thinking about it because you're thinking about how to breathe and how not to.
Exactly.
You're trying not to die. And then like 2 mornings ago, it was so amazing because I was swimming and I thought something had touched my leg and I thought it was the girls that I was swimming with, but it wasn't them. It was these three dolphins like swam underneath me and looked at me in the eye. And,
amazing.
You know, yeah, it's really – and we see dolphins all the time out there and it's amazing.
So how far out do you swim?
We swim sort of past the pier into these little markers, which is about 100 metres out, but then we'll swim up and down between those markers. So – some mornings we'll just do breaststroke and talk and other mornings we'll swim, you know, 800, 900 metres freestyle and we usually stay in about half an hour while it's, you know, super cold at the moment. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're on the Mornington Peninsula here in Victoria. So it's cold. Yes.
For those of you living in Hawaii, the water's about 9 degrees.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. It is 9. I think it's gone back up to 11 and then in summer it gets to 19, so I cannot wait to be able to swim, you know, for an hour without being sort of frozen.
Oh, gee.
I don't know if you remember Susanna and Trini from What Not to Wear.
Yeah.
But Trini's continued on with a makeup empire and, you know, heaps of Botox. And she's happy to talk about that. And then Susanna does wild swimming and gets up in the morning with these other women in the country and they go and swim in like big lakes in England and she her hair's wild and she's just embracing her middle age.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, I have never done wild swimming and I don't think I'm going to go down to the creek. But but it is, it's I do watch it. Here. I do think, wow.
Well, there must be something in it. What do people talk about, the benefits? Tell us, you know, why.
Especially like in the winter when you're having to learn sort of the breathing techniques, those breathing techniques can really help, you know, outside of the water if you're feeling really anxious.
Got
You can just try and, you know, imitate those, you know, because when you're in the water you've got to stop hyperventilating otherwise, you know, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
So if you've really got to keep yourself calm and then if you can apply those techniques sort of afterwards. But I think it's just you feel amazing when you hop out. Like when you're going in there, you're like, what am I doing this for? Why am I doing this? And it's amazing how your brain can talk you out of things so quickly.
Oh, yeah.
But you have to sort of push past the thoughts of, you know, don't get in. And then when you're coming out, it's like the biggest high, like drug-free high that you can sort of have.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
It's really, really, yeah. Really, that's
how I feel after awesome. I go for a walk or I play yeah. walking netball or, you know, there's, yeah. you got your things.
Yeah, it's so same. Yeah, it's so same like endorphins that, you know, yeah. really, you know, really happen. And
but even that power just, of the cold to shock you into your own head, you know?
Exactly.
Like I'm, exactly. Okay, I'm alive. I'm a person. I'm not yeah. ruminating. Exactly. I'm not going over the yeah. same things.
Yeah,
you know, I can imagine that, you know, all right, I'm freezing, let's swim.
Exactly. And then instead you have this yeah. sort of bonus of, you know, these people that you meet and yeah, just sort of the community. Discussions you have and, you know, you can, it's just sort of, everyone's sort of so open and free and especially when you're in the water, you know, you will have some of the deepest discussions, yeah. you know, you've had sort of thing.
I can imagine.
Wow.
While you're trying well,
I can't
to
imagine being able to swim and
no, I can't do that.
Talk and, no, but I'm not an ocean girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like yeah. the beach. Yeah. Love it, but yeah. I'm a bit freaked out by things in the water. That's just me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Which yeah, some people are. And the only things, you know, the last sort of month there hasn't been much marine life out there, but now it's getting a bit warmer. The like little banjo sharks with the little fish things, they're coming back and some stingrays and stuff like that.
Wow.
And which how do you really think cool. that's transferred into your home life and who you are now and your parenting and all of that?
Yeah, I think the best part about going for a swim in the morning, like when the kids were going to school, was that I was removing myself from the situation in the morning where I'd be like yelling and screaming at everyone to get ready.
It's hard in the morning.
So then I'm not, because I'm not there. So then, you know, miraculously everyone can actually get their breakfast and get themselves dressed. They don't need me to do it.
Yeah.
Whereas if I'm there, you know, they're asking me a million things and where, you know, where everything is. But if I'm not there, then they can, it's a miracle they can find it themselves, you know.
Yeah, or someone else can.
So, yeah, well, that's right. And then, you know, the three kids sort of can help each other out or,
yes.
you know, I'll sort of make, you know, Coops can't feed himself breakfast or anything, but I'll just make him a protein smoothie and he can drink that himself. And
when he's ready.
He gets, gets himself dressed as much as he can and then I'll help him, you know, with his shoes or whatever.
Yep.
But I'm sort of down the beach, you know, and I've started even doing meditation just before I swim. So, you know, just as the sun's coming up and then I'll go for half an hour swim and then, you know, come back home. And then I'm much better placed when I get home.
Of course. Yeah.
Because I'm really positive and I'm really happy. And then that sort of flows onto the kids. Whereas if I wake up and I'm have to deal with, you know, all the commotion that happens in the morning, then it's horrible. And we were just, we were at the point where it was just really, really horrible for everyone and, you know, just trying to balance everyone's emotions out in the morning. And then, you know, there'd always be at least one person that's going off to school in tears for whatever reason. So now it's,
it's a high thing. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but to know that you're the one stirring all that up, it feels awful as a mum because I know because I did it this morning.
Yeah,
I know.
You know, and you're just like, okay, I can see through everyone's eyes that I am the person that's made everything 10 times harder. It's a big.
Yeah, like we're sort of the instigator of the trauma.
Yeah. Know? And then you're like, come on, you've got to be a better person. I don't want to be. I want to have a tantrum.
I know.
That's
right. Sometimes you're just saying, you know, like, can you please log on to class? Stop asking. Like, I've asked once.
I know.
It's all of a sudden spiraled. You're like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would get
I know. So I'm like, where did that come from?
It's... Maybe the ocean does sound better than that, I think.
I think it does, Kate. I think we need to move.
It does. And then I'm down there, you know, obviously we're only allowed out for 2 hours of exercise. So I'll do my little swim in the morning and then I'll take the dog, you know, down to the leash free area.
Chat with all my dog friends. It's huge.
Exactly, because everyone's out for a little bit of a chat. And,
and that's some of the things you can do when your kids are a little bit older too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's definitely. That's what I was going to say.
Or if you've got support workers or, you know, a partner.
Yeah, exactly. So I was speaking to some mums yesterday at the beach who were similar age to me, but their kids were much younger. So they had sort of preschoolers and newborn babies. And I was saying, you know, they were sort of looking at me like, how come I'm here with no kids? And I'm like, well, because they're older, I can leave them by themselves now. It's great.
It's great.
It's a bonus.
Yeah.
But that said, you know, Cooper does have like a mentor that he sees once a week and then we've got a new family friend that will come and, you know, spend time with Coops during lockdown and whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have – and I think we'll sort of – my parents moved to Queensland a couple of years ago, so we were – sort of forced to find people in our community to support us. So,
yeah.
And as they get, you know, as parents obviously get older and they can't be offering the same support. So
no,
it's been nice to, to look into your community and find people.
And as you said, you've been forced to stay grounded in the one spot, whereas
that's exactly if
you hadn't have had that moment and or COVID, you would have still been off traveling the world, do you think?
Well, definitely. And I wouldn't have even known that, like, a dog could change my life.
Yeah.
And that being, you know, everyone sort of thinks, you know, oh, we're stuck in this one spot, which we are stuck, but I love it because it's real. I've just really been able to embrace this one spot.
And,
you know, whereas the rest of the family sort of want to go off and can't wait to get back on a plane, but
yeah,
I'm quite happy now. You know, I feel very settled.
Interesting. You
know. Oh, well, you've got a dog now, so there's probably no more 3 month holidays.
I know.
You can start the dog blog. The dog travel blog.
Yes, Bron. It's got to be something. A podcast.
The dog pod.
Oh, God.
How has online learning been with the three kids? They're at three different schools.
Yeah, it's very up and down depending on the – I think I just really take it like half a day at a time really to how the attitude's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, some days the kids are really motivated, some days they're not motivated. Just depends on what subjects they've got. And
Cooper's in mainstream school, isn't he? He always has been.
Cooper has always been in mainstream since the start.
So is he in year 10?
Yeah, he's in year 10 now, So he's – at the moment, he has a full-time integration aide at school.
Yep.
And so she's online with him, you know, as much as she can be. It's a bit tricky because, you know, when they've got to be sort of online in a class and then you can't be online with his integration aide at the same time. So Andrew and I have been sort of helping out, you know, with things when we need to and that sort of thing. It's a big family affair. All the other kids sort of help Coops out with different things depending on what the subject is.
Yep.
But because he's in year 10, he's chosen subjects he wants to do. So it's easy.
Yeah, that's true.
And then next year we've just done all his forms and everything to do VCAL next year.
Yeah, great.
And he'll do 3 days at school and a day in a workplace and a day at TAFE, and he's going to do music production and
perfect
DJing and stuff. He wants to be a really famous DJ and work at a nightclub and things like this.
He will do it. Look, he's a determined man.
That would be an awesome dream. If I could have my life over, love it. Else I'd rather be.
That just reminded me, he did a fair bit of modelling, didn't he?
Oh, he did. Because remember he was the first one
in Target.
You know, for Kmart.
I don't know which one. You tell me.
Yeah, he did the Kmart while we did that Easter egg for Easter like years and years ago.
Yeah.
And that was like the first time they'd advertised, you know, did inclusive advertising with someone, you know, with different abilities. So.
And we were just all so excited. We were going to the shops, taking photos of him on the billboard, sending you like, oh, my gosh. So amazing, Bron.
I know. And even now he comes out, you know, just in his jocks or whatever, and he'll be like, I really want to do underwear modelling.
he should. He's ripped.
He's ripped. He works out in the gym every day.
He does. Yeah.
He's strong now.
Oh, well, amazing, hey?
Yeah, awesome.
Oh, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I really
am. See, if you could go back and talk to that mum that gave birth, you'd be like, it's going to be all right.
Exactly.
So, and I know there are lots of people listening who are right in the thick of diagnosis or pregnancies that, you know, have been told that they're not going to have the dream outcome, but it will be okay. Yeah.
It really will be. And it's so, so hard at the start and, but it definitely will be okay and you'll be a better person.
We are better people. Yes.
I just don't know how we can get anymore.
How can we get that into our heads quicker that we will become better people?
I don't know.
Because I just don't know because I didn't believe that.
No.
But I believe it now.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
So, well, just if you are like Mandy and I and love listening to older women who've done it before, listen to the three of us.
Yeah.
You will be a better person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're already an awesome person, but you're going to be even better.
Tell us, Bron, is there anything we've missed that you want to tell the P community? Because we could do a podcast with you for hours.
I can't think of anything. But I just want to reiterate that it will be okay. Yeah. And I think, you know, any views you know, you might just sort of have different views of what disability is because of what you've sort of experienced when you were younger or, you know, whatever. But it's going to be your own journey, and it's your child's own journey as well. And it's an amazing thing as a parent to be able to support that journey and to see that child be this like a most amazing human being. And, you know, lots of days I look at Cooper and I'm like, where on earth did you come from? Like, he's got, I'm just sort of amazed by his sort of perseverance and just his love of, well, his love of life really, and that how he sees life, because that's probably the biggest thing that you learn as a parent is, yeah, how your child, to see, you know, the world through your child's eyes. And a child with a disability, they cut through the bullshit straight away. And it's real, and that it's real, and they can see it, you know.
Yeah.
They can see the reality of it sort of straight up.
Yeah. And you just realize what matters and what doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Maybe that's what in some ways makes you a better person.
Yeah.
I think realizing what matters and going, screw that.
Yeah. That doesn't matter.
No.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah. Well, Bron, thank you. I can't wait to see Cooper grow into a man, a young man.
Yes. Yep.
And I can't wait to cheer your family on.
Yeah.
If you've anything you want the P-Tribe to follow, or, you know, you might not anymore, but maybe your Instagram is still there though, is it? Is it still there?
It is, Smith's but I haven't been on it for a while, Because I sort of feel as though you can follow my Instagram, but that's a little
while. If people would like to look at the photos.
Yeah, they might like to go and see you in Mongolia. Traveling things. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly right.
We'll pop
or
that
just
in
speak
the show
to
notes.
Me in real life down at the beach, you know?
Yeah, okay. Yes. When we're allowed to go more than 5 kilometres.
We're coming down.
That's right.
When people
come
are allowed interstate.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, I remember Bron came to my house for the first time when we met in person, and then we've probably only met, I remember we came to Cooper's birthday and we've probably only seen each other maybe 4 or 5 times in person.
But you
know, because our lives are busy, but we could have. Why didn't we see each other every week?
I know.
Yes, so I'll have a date down the beach very soon.
Yeah. Okay. Get Kate and Mandy in the water.
We'll bring some dog cupcakes and we'll be there. We'll bring our oodles.
We'll bring our dogs and we'll meet you down there and maybe we'll put our toes in the water.
Yeah, I'm not swimming.
Excellent.
Oh, thank you, Brian.
Thank you so much to the P Tribe.
No, of course. We're thrilled to have you.
Thank you. Mandy, I'm so glad you asked Bron to come onto our podcast.
Oh, I've been, she's always been on my list.
Yeah.
So it was great. I'm just sad we couldn't do it in person.
I know, it's so sad. I know you've been hearing this for 18 months, but, you know, we've got this little pod bar. We bought 2 extra chairs and 2 extra mics and they do not get used.
Yeah. And anyway, I'm thrilled that we can speak to her, and she has a lot for the peas to gain wisdom from.
Yeah, she really does.
Yeah. And she's been a beautiful friend.
I just really like the fact that she's taking time for herself.
Yeah.
And I know that when you're in the thick of it, it seems like that's never going to happen. Mm. But
well, she's proof it can.
She is proof it can. And she's living
and
her best life.
We have to fight for it.
Yep. And she has.
Yeah. And she has.
Awesome. She does deserve an award for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Award from us.
Yep. A pea award.
Okay. Well, we think we've got a shared cry
this
week.
We have got a shared cry. So Mandy and I have just been overwhelmed. If you're in our hangout, hello, hi, how are you going? if you're not and you listen to the podcast and you would like to, you can join. It's 2P's hangout on Facebook.
Yep.
You have to answer a few questions. But some beautiful Melbourne peas, when Sydney first went into lockdown, said we should send some things because we did have some beautiful things sent to us last year. Mm. And it's just been ongoing, and there's just beautiful gifts.
Oh, thoughtful and kind and yummy and interesting.
Yeah, just amazing, being sent all around from all around Australia to people in Sydney. And we know we did a long, long, long lockdown last year, I think 12 weeks.
We did.
And we know that Sydney, we won't mention how long you're going to be in lockdown for. We don't know.
Well, we might be with you. So.
Yeah, that's right.
we're not crowing that we're going to be out. No.
We've just had a few little, you know, reprieves during our last two. But
snap openings,
yeah.
Yeah.
But it just makes such a huge difference. And I also wanted to say on behalf of our beautiful, beautiful Bryony, if you're in the hangout, you know Bryony is just an instrumental part of our P-Tribe.
Yeah.
She did her own episode if you want to go back and listen to that. And she was a tier one contact and spent 2 weeks in complete isolation with her children. She could only leave home to get a COVID test. And the peas were so beautiful, sending her things. And, yeah, it was just, I don't know, I don't think there's a more beautiful bunch of people.
No. And I think we know when people need a boost.
Yes.
Don't we? Yeah. We're just intuitively like, okay, this group of people or this person needs a bit of TLC.
We did a P-Zoom a couple of weeks ago. Who knows? We may have done another one by this time. And beautiful Donna was in there, who is Victorian of the Year. And she, you know, Mandy said, can we do anything? She said, oh, I'm putting together lunch packs. And
yes.
And she got $900 within an hour.
From the peas. Well done, everyone.
You're generous. You don't have a lot of money and you're generous anyway. That's true generosity.
Yes, it is.
Right?
We're proud of you.
We are really proud of you. So that's all of our – it just made me cry, all of it. I was like, I just love you all.
Yeah.
So thank you for being so awesome. Anything make a difference in your life?
Make a difference was well, speaking of Donna, she has started meditation. She started just for the P tribe, okay?
Just for the P.
So for anybody that's in the Two Peas in a Podcast Hangout and you would like to – you can search in that group and find Donna's Meditation, I think is what it's called, is it?
Yeah, or I Two can't Peas remember, but you'll be able to find it.
And so she is a trained meditation facilitator and she is doing this for us, for anybody who's needing a bit of a COVID break.
Yeah, and so, she said she'll leave it up, I think, so that you can sort of do it live with her or you can do it later. And – we all need a break.
Yeah, so we're really thankful to Donna. I mean, as if that woman doesn't give enough of her time.
I know.
She's being helpful again.
Okay, and my make a difference, it's a, you know, I'm not always the most poignant person, but I bought myself, I'm sure everyone's watched Meanwhile in Australia with Jimmy Rees.
Yeah.
Right, and if you're from overseas, he's this very funny Australian who actually was originally on a kids TV show and he's just making YouTube and Snapchat, TikTok videos about our lockdowns, how they're rolling in and out and this state's in and this state's out. But he has Melbourne, which is the state that Mandy and I are from. We have the best coffee in the world, so we're up ourselves about it. So he has got this black coffee mug with just a sticker on it that says Wanker Coffee. But he's put them out as keep cups. So I've got my Wanker Coffee keep cup and I just love it. Aww. And it's making me happy. Yeah. And I'm like, thank you for bringing joy into this absolute shit show.
A twin dad.
Twin dad, yeah. And he shows some of the mayhem of his house.
I know, it's awesome.
I love it. It's just so, so great. So my make a difference is a wanker coffee.
Yeah, great. What about your laugh?
Okay, so what made me laugh? Of course, we're back in remote learning. Did we ever leave? Oh. And we were talking about when Parliament first happened in Australia and how we had these terrible policies, right, that – oh. They're just atrocious. Anyway, racist, misogynist, the whole lot. Anyway, and I said, Woody said something to me like, well, you know, if you were around, what would have you done? And I said, well, nothing. I wouldn't have I wasn't even allowed to vote as a woman. He goes, oh, well, I don't think so. You're pretty bossy and I know you very well and you would have been in there.
That's probably true, mate.
And I was like, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
But thanks for believing in me. Yeah, it was very, very funny. I was like, there you go. Yeah.
Oh.
What about you?
We did some cooking with Molly and I must have used like the lemon. What do you use?
Zesta.
Zesta. That's right. And so I put it down on the
bench.
Counter. Sorry, I can't even talk. Put it on the bench, and then Molly, she was standing over there, and she goes, who shaves lemons? Who puts shaved lemons in food? And it was just so
that's what we should call
funny.
It.
Shaving
the
your lemons.
Shaver, the lemon shaver.
And I was like, oh, no, it's called a zester. But from then on, we've been talking about shaving lemons.
Yeah.
It was just so cute and funny. Oh, my gosh. That's the best part about having them home.
It is. There's just
it's a funny, cute,
really, really funny moments every single day.
Yeah.
I think maybe I can see them a little bit more than I could last year.
Yeah, I think so too, actually.
And I think we've become.
Because I think I just am a bit resigned.
Yeah, and we're like, well, this is life now and it's never changing.
Yeah.
So.
Whereas last year we had hope that this year wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, if we're back here in 2022, I don't know who we'll be. We'll be different people.
Yeah, well, we are different people, aren't we?
Yeah. Anyway, thank you.
If you're in Queensland, enjoy. Go to that beach. If you're in Western Australia, wherever. Who knows? By the time this comes out, you could all be in lockdown.
That's right. And our kiwi peas,
yep,
they're in lockdown too.
Yeah, so it's...
Are we seeing you? Thank you for everyone that's bought our book. Please keep buying it online. If you're at the shops, please buy it. Please take a photo and send it to us. We get so excited to see our book in shops because we haven't been able to see it. I went once.
I haven't seen it, so I haven't... Yeah, I'm hoping it'll still be on the shelves because new books will come out.
Yes, of course.
So we had beautiful sales in the first week because all of you peas that had pre-ordered, but then Mandy and I weren't able to do much publicity.
No.
So don't bring out a book during COVID if no one knows who you are.
Yes, that's exactly right.
There's my
right.
tip for any of you unknown authors.
Oh.
So if you have a spare $20 or $30, it would make a really big difference to us if the book gets sold.
Yeah.
So we know it's just COVID's fault. We're not beating ourselves up.
That's right.
I'm proud
There's
of the book.
Nothing more we could do.
You can actually go to our merch store and they're signed copies, and you can go to our website and Mandy and I will write a special note
Message.
For you if you want.
Yeah.
But the merch store is probably a quicker way of getting it if you just want a signed copy.
Yeah.
And they're $30 on there including postage. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty
so
good.
So please do that. Rate and
Thank
review.
Thank you, peace.
Bye.
See you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.